Hello and welcome to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and we're going to talk to some sweet entrepreneurs today. Well, just one today, but Kelly Fitzpatrick with Lenny and Eva is here. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Tiffany. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. And so you are a homegrown company right here in the heart of the Upper Cumberland, correct?
Yes, correct. Baxter, Tennessee.
So you started Lenny and Eva, which is this huge company now. Right here in Baxter.
Yes.
At your kitchen table.
Yes.
So let's take us back. As a kid, do you think you could have seen yourself being an entrepreneur and owning your own company?
Not necessarily so. I was always creative. My mother is very crafty. She's a great seamstress. I grew up in an environment where being creative and making things was encouraged. And so in that aspect, I have always been making things, but never really expected to turn that into my career.
Were you one of those kids that just kind of had a lemonade stand? I mean, I'm guessing there's not a huge amount of traffic in Baxter, Tennessee that you're having a lemonade stand, but were you making, you know, my daughter does, she'll make friendship bracelets, try and sell them on the playground, that kind of stuff. Were you that kind of person?
I did that a few times, but I would say more so the making process was what was fun for me, not necessarily then figuring out how to sell that.
So as a kid, you had this maker idea, but you weren't encouraged to pursue that. So, you went to school and you got a degree in
education
and you decided to teach for
high school English
for a while.
Yeah. About 5 years.
But your soul was not set with that, right? Like, you know, you enjoyed it a bit, but so you kind of started picking up some side hustles while you were teaching, correct?
Yes.
So what were you doing there?
Photography. So I had gotten a camera as a Christmas gift after our second daughter was born and just kind of taught myself how to do that. There was another teacher friend who was also an English teacher with me, and she also had gotten a camera, and together she and I just started taking photos of our daughters first and then other teachers' friends, kiddos, and then it just kind of was built from there. And then we created a business together, a photography business, which was very successful. And then
You're still teaching at this time?
Yes, absolutely.
So what year is this that you're...
That all probably happened my last year or so of teaching.
And 2000...
2000, probably two or three.
Okay.
I can't remember. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So you're teaching full time and you have a successful photography company. I mean, really you were well known as a photographer here in the Upper Cumberland again. How did you decide, how could you manage that? How did you balance that?
Well, I think that's with any side hustle that you can envision as becoming something bigger than a side hustle, you find the time. And I for sure will not quote this exactly, but I read somewhere that your career is what you, or your job is what you do 9 to 5, and then your passion is what you do from 5 until midnight or 2 in the morning or whatever that is. And so I've felt really passionately about it. And at some point, she realized that she really wanted to continue teaching more than the photography. And so then I took that over full time. And when I was able to replace my teacher's salary, then with the photography income, that's when I left teaching to pursue photography even more aggressively than I was.
And how long were you in the photography world?
About five years.
About 5 years. And how did you know at that time? So I find this really fascinating with entrepreneurs is that, okay, so you kind of self-taught your photography and you decided to build this business, but there's a lot more aspects to a business than just taking pictures and
for sure.
And developing it, you know. Yes, there's a whole, and that's a huge business idea in itself, just taking pictures and editing them and you know, producing them. But you have to know that you're making enough money and that you're you know, balance your QuickBooks and all that kind of stuff. So how did, again, you just kind of self-taught or?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always entrusted my husband. He's definitely the finance side of our marriage. He enjoys that much more than I do. And so I entrusted him with managing that side of the business so that I was able to focus more on the creativity and also building good business practices like customer service and just making sure that all of my contracts were in order and those kinds of things that you maybe don't necessarily think about when you're approaching a creative business like photography.
Was he working still at that time too?
Yes, he was actually working with his family.
You're listening to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton, and we have Kelly Fitzpatrick with Lenny and Eva, and we're just about to dig into where your really entrepreneur, your big, huge thing kind of came about. So you did photography for about 5 years, and then what made you decide, maybe I have an itch to do something else?
So the photography business was certainly not the scale of what Lenny and Eva is today, but I do think that it gave me a lot of confidence and made me more aware that I was able to create something much bigger than maybe I thought that I could. So having done that and been successful at it, when I got the idea for an interchangeable inspirational bracelet, I was thinking a little bit bigger on the front end than maybe I would have been if I would have just gotten the idea 5 years before that. So
let's pause for a second and explain what Lenny and Eva is for those listeners who may not know. So it's a jewelry brand.
Yes.
Intended for women.
Yes.
And it's kind of, you go ahead.
Yeah. So our intention is pretty simple. It's to inspire women. And when I got the idea, I actually had a bracelet with a quote on it that was really special to me, and it had been given to me at a time when I needed to read that quote, that sentiment. And so I thought it would be really cool to have a bracelet with an inspiring message on it, but maybe created in a way that would allow you to collect different quotes for different seasons in life or different inspiration that you might need. Moods of the day, yeah, and interchange those. And so I didn't really have any experience in jewelry making, but just Googled it and figured it out and created a prototype and then talked with Marlene and at the market, Marlene and Mara at the market, and just got some advice on what do I do to become a wholesale distributor here. And that's kind of where it all got started.
So you were, I've heard this story before, but for those listeners who haven't, so you're in your, you have three kids at the time, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you have three kids, you're getting ready for school.
School,
right?
Yes.
And my kids blow drying hair. Somebody's got some crazy curly hair that you're trying to manage.
Yeah. So at the time, my oldest daughter was 12, and then my middle daughter was 6, and then we had a newborn who was a surprise, the best surprise ever. But we were not expecting to have a third.
Yes.
A third child at that point. But yeah, so it was the school had just started, and fixing hair and blow drying hair and nursing a baby all at the same time. And that's kind of when I was thinking to myself, holy cow, your life has really, really changed a lot over the last 15 years. And then I thought about that bracelet, and which said, to thine own self be true. And I love that quote. And so That's kind of where the idea popped into my head.
So from the time that you had this idea to pop in your head that I could start a wholesale jewelry line till you sold your first bracelet, how long was that process?
I started working on it in August, and then by December I had it was beyond a prototype. I had enough product that the market on the square in Cookeville bought a very small supply to test it out for me, and they sold it. And then in January of that next year, I took it to market in Atlanta.
And this is 12 years ago now?
10.
10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this, you took it to market in 2009, January of 2010.
10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that is not a long time.
No, it wasn't.
That is not a long time.
But the line itself, when you look at Lenny and Eva now, and you're a fan, so yes. I know you know what we have. It's grown tremendously from that point. So when I started, I had, I think, maybe 5 different quotes to choose from, and those were stamped with ink by hand, not engraved or cast. It's actually cast, not engraved. And we had 2 colors of leather, and that was it. So I had 7 7 items.
I think I've asked you this before, and I don't think you knew the answer at the time, but do you know what the first quote was?
I think you did ask me, and when we left, I remembered what it was, and then now I can't remember it again. So we're just going to need to write this down before the next time we do it.
We should. Maybe you need to make a social media post, and then maybe I'll remember what it is.
I should.
So there was just a few of them. You went to market, and what were the takeaways from that first market? So for those people who don't know, who are interested maybe, market is kind of this huge thing in Atlanta.
Yes. Actually, there are two different types of, well, I'm sure it goes across lots of different trades, but for me specifically, either a gift market or an apparel market. And that's where retail buyers go and buy their products that they're going to sell to their consumers, to sell in their stores or their online store or whatever. So Atlanta is the biggest. But then there are also markets in New York and LA and other areas across the country. But Atlanta is definitely the largest.
And how often do you go down to market?
We exhibit at the gift trade show. So we do January, and then the summer show is usually in June or July. Mm-hmm. And then we also show one of our lines in the apparel market, which happens 4 or 5 times a year.
Oh, okay. So you do that once a year?
No, we do that every time.
Okay. And you just take all your stuff down there, and then these merchants will come and place their orders.
Yeah. So the first time that we did it, we had what's called a temporary space. And so then as the vendor, we were responsible for creating the whole setup. We shipped all the product there. We set it up. We worked the booth. We took orders. Now we're in what's called a permanent showroom in a multi-line setup. So it's permanently set up. It's more like what you would experience if you were shopping in a store. So our showroom represents, I think, around 30 different wholesale brands. There are a variety of different brands that complement each other. So there's a Bath and Body line, there's a pajama line, a puzzle company, a few jewelry lines. And so then it's a little bit easier in that aspect that it's already set up and we just go and hang out there.
Yeah.
The sales reps sell it.
Yeah. Well, that works. So again, back to the original question with, so you went in January of 2010. Mm-hmm. What were your takeaways from that? Were you like, oh my gosh, we got this. This is awesome. We're going to make it.
We broke even.
Yeah.
We broke even. I think we opened maybe 12 accounts, and I said, so we didn't bomb. People were interested. We paid for this, so we weren't at a loss in the risk that we took. And then those 12 accounts placed reorders. And then we did another market, and we got even more accounts. And so I realized pretty quickly that the plan that I didn't really, you know, it wasn't very orchestrated prior to that, but it was working.
We're going to get more into kind of what works and what doesn't work in a second. And you're listening to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Kelly Fitzpatrick from Lenny and Eva. And she just kind of explained to us about her first market, and you went and you broke even.
Yes.
So where'd you find that passion to say, that's okay, break even is, I haven't lost anything, I haven't gained anything, let's keep going.
I think really all I needed to hear was that other people liked my idea. I think anytime you, all entrepreneurs, I think that whatever they've created or whatever their idea is the best idea ever. And you should, you absolutely should. But I needed to know that at least a small handful of other people felt that way as well. It's not my mom,
right?
Because she also loves everything that I do.
Right. I think it's no secret. You didn't take investors through this, mm-hmm. this whole mm-hmm. venture. Mm-hmm. You've kind of little by little, bootstrapped this whole entire thing. Mm-hmm. So how did you why did you make that decision to, mm-hmm. to bootstrap and not take investors?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we didn't really have to. We had, positioned ourselves. I was totally fine with growing organically. My husband and I are huge Dave Ramsey fans. So when the company started making money, we just tried to make smart decisions with where it went. And we saved a lot and reinvested a lot of that back into growing the business and was able to grow it without needing outside investment.
At what point did you parallel the photography with the Lenny and Eva for a while?
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you decide, okay, now I'm fully in Lenny and Eva?
Yeah, it was kind of the same thing, and I don't really remember exactly how long, which with wedding photography, you're booked like a year in advance. So I had already quite a bit on the books that needed to be.
Out,
yeah, so it was a phase out thing. And then I think I started first by like phasing out weddings and still did some family and mini session type things. And then when I was able to replace what I'd been doing there, then.
And your husband at some point
mm-hmm.
came on full mm-hmm. team too.
Mm-hmm.
So how long into that process?
Same thing there when we were able to
supplement his income.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, we mentioned that you started out by working on your kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
And then at what point did you, so you just kind of took these baby steps and, mm-hmm. and figured out, Larry Stone, the owner of StoneCom, mm-hmm. he says that he thinks that business is like plateaus. And so you get to the next plateau and mm-hmm. you have to even out and you say, okay, are we good here? Are we mm-hmm. solid? And make sure we're at that plateau that's really a solid foundation before we take that next jump. And
that's so great advice.
Do you kind of feel like that's how you've worked your business?
Yeah, yeah. So when I could no longer physically handle it, when I was working until 2 or 3 in the morning trying to fulfill orders and still making quite a bit of the product myself at the time. Then I called actually a cousin of mine, and just said, can you come help like 2 days a week? And then she ended up never leaving. She came on full time and was there. Actually, she just recently left. It was really, really sad, but she and her husband are exploring their own entrepreneurial journey right now. So that's really exciting to see. But shortly after that, another cousin, Lindsay, whom you know and if you've met before, came on. And same thing, can you come help like 2 days a week? And so the three of us then, when we could no longer manage it, we just grew that way. We moved from the kitchen table to there was a spare room in my house. When that room was full, then we moved to the garage. When the garage was full, I think when we bought our building in Baxter, we had 8 full-time employees working 40 hours a week, coming to my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was.
So like you're
very close.
Your personal refrigerator is like, is this ours, mom? Or is this? Like-
yeah. Well, I cooked. It's funny. I cooked lunch like almost every day, or maybe not necessarily cook something, but we had lunch.
You fixed
together.
Lunch for the team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that has a lot of camaraderie that, comes
oh, it did.
That.
Absolutely. So absolutely.
That's pretty neat. So you, how many full-time employees do you have now?
We have 11 now.
11 now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you have a building in
mm-hmm.
Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
How much of what you do is, I mean, you can't do everything in Baxter, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot, everything. One thing that we pride ourselves on with Lenny and Eva, and our other brand Stone and Stick, it's all made in the USA. So we do assemble a good portion of it in-house, but we also work with teams of people in Rhode Island, which is kind of a dying jewelry industry in the United States. But a lot of our supply vendors are there, and then also our assembly team is there. So in Baxter, we have our in-house sales team, we have our warehouse and fulfillment, customer service. That's what's happening there.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's mm-hmm. happening. I mean, assembly is there. Mm-hmm. So you have all the parts, but mm-hmm. there's almost like a large craft table there.
Yes.
That is, I was amazed to find out how much. I mean, you're not, you don't just have boxes of complete product there. Mm-hmm. You're assembling mm-hmm. right there mm-hmm. on site. So that's pretty neat. We'll get into a little bit more of what's going on in Baxter in a second. In case you just joined us, we're listening to Local Matters with Kelly Fitzpatrick with Lenny and Eva. And so you decided to open a flagship store mm-hmm. in Baxter mm-hmm. about 5-ish years ago. Is that right? 4 or 5 years ago? Something like that.
I need a calendar.
I think that's about right. So how much business do you actually get in that store? Is it mostly wholesale?
It's more of a token for us. We do have our Baxter fans in Cookeville, a few friends from Cookeville who come and visit us. Particularly, there's one group of teachers who comes to visit us almost every Friday, and we love seeing them. It's not, in fact, retail in general is only about 20% of our business. About 80% of what we do is wholesale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people don't realize what you can do in the Upper Cumberland mm-hmm. as a business person. Mm-hmm. People often think you got to get out of, you know, Putnam County, Tennessee, mm-hmm. to do something. Mm-hmm. So how can you speak on that? Because you've grown a huge business mm-hmm. In Baxter where people don't, you know.
Yeah, I honestly never really saw it as a challenge. And maybe it's the nature of our business. I do have to travel and I have to go where those markets, buyers markets are taking place. But the business itself can be operated from wherever. Like it doesn't have to happen in a big city. In fact, you know, working in a small community is really nice. I don't have traffic to deal with. The team that I have is close family and friends, and that works out great. And I'm close to home. So, I mean, there's, for me, it's more advantage than a disadvantage for sure.
Yeah. Do you think, do you realize how much your business has impacted the economy of this Upper Cumberland region? Is that a heavy?
It is. It's humbling to think about it.
You've provided jobs to 11 people, mm-hmm. full-time employees mm-hmm. in this region. Mm-hmm. You bring, you know, people are buying, even if they're buying online, they're buying, you know, into this industry here. Mm-hmm. You've really made an impact on the economy of this region. Mm-hmm. And that's not anything that, you know,
well, thank you.
I know Kelly's very, very, very nervous right now. I put her on the hot seat and she doesn't know what to do. But I mean, that's really a big deal. I think, what we do at the Biz Foundry is we really want to encourage and let people know that, there is a way for entrepreneurship to make an impact on the economy and make, a huge, inspiration in this area. Mm-hmm. Cookeville is really seeing a grow and a rise. But we can, all these other neighboring communities, just because they're not in Cookeville does not mean that they can't do the things mm-hmm. that you've done. And there's such valuable people here. You have mentored other people mm-hmm. and you've reached out and you kind of help others. Any comments on the people that you worked with or businesses that you've helped along the way?
Well, if you know me, you know I'm a Baxter girl at the core. And I think just I love this, the whole community, not just Baxter, but the whole Upper Cumberland area. And I love all of the just how everyone is supportive here and the talent that's here and the opportunities that are here. And I just like that we can, you know, for me specifically, that I can do what I love.
For people who want to follow you on social media, mm-hmm. Lenny and Eva mm-hmm. on Instagram and Facebook, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. And we don't have a ton of time, but mm-hmm. The Monarch?
Yes.
What's that?
Yes.
What's it called on Instagram?
So Events at the Monarch.
Events at the Monarch. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be the event space in Baxter.
Absolutely.
Coming January, February.
February.
Mm-hmm. So look out for that. Follow her on social media. Kelly Fitzpatrick, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Thank you, Tiffany, for having me.
Have a great day.